This is Digital Story Podcast number 1008, July 15th, 2025. Today's theme is outdoor gear that's handy in emergencies too. I'm Derek Story. Great camping gear is not only helpful for your next outdoor photo adventure, but it can also help you survive a climate emergency. I have recently tested some state-of-the-art equipment that can prove most helpful in good times and bad. All of this and more on today's TDS Photography Podcast. I hope you enjoy the show. Weather has certainly been in the news these days, and it's just been crazy, absolutely crazy. Basically, all parts of the country, but especially down in the Texas area, the South, even in the Northeast. There are fires in the West right now, although not as bad as last year, at least to this point, and I'm crossing my fingers on that. So practically wherever you go in the U.S. and other parts of the world as well, Europe is going through a tremendous heat wave. It is very difficult times for people, especially people who are vulnerable to the environment. And I was thinking about all of this the other day when I was preparing for my next camping trip. I have one coming up in August that I'm really looking forward to. And I use the camping trips for my personal getaway and a little bit of quiet and communing with nature, but I also use it for testing new equipment. And those of you that have read my series of articles on the Digital Story know that I have reviewed item after item after item for those who enjoy the outdoors, want to be comfortable outdoors, and also those that maybe want to be a little prepared just in case the lights go out or something else happens that forces you out of your normal home routine. And as I was thinking about all of that, I was going, the new stuff that I have been testing over the last 2 months, I think fits very well into this category, both as a convenience when you're choosing to be outdoors and on a photo adventure, and then also maybe as a necessity when things go south on you. So I'm going to cover four items today. I like all four of these items. I'm excited about a couple of them in particular. But we're going to start with a very basic thing, and that is water. My gosh, you know, having water, both when you're camping, where you have your own water source and are not depending on any water in the area. For instance, the next place that I'm going to, I just read an advisory. It's a very beautiful place. It's lush. It's green. There's flowing water. And they're saying basically don't drink the water here at the campsite unless you boil it first, because they have found some bacteria in the system and they're working on controlling it. But in the meantime, better to be safe than sorry. Well, my position is that I'd just rather be safe than sorry all the time. So I bring my water with me, and this includes on our photo workshops, you know, that we do on location. I have water with me. And the container that I use, and by the way, I have links to all of this in the show notes. So you just go to the show notes, click on the item you're interested in, and it'll take you right to the site. But the container that I've been using, I really like this a lot. It's a Koos Mint 3.2 gallon container. It has a spigot, but the spigot is interchangeable with just a regular screw-on cap. It has a big mouth opening so that it's easy to fill. It has a little air lock so you can open it so that the water flows easily. And then you can either use a spigot or just a regular cap on the other end, the dispensing end. The thing I like about this 3.2 gallon container, it's $36, by the way, is that it has a rectangular shape and it has handles on two sides. And the reason why I like this is because with the shape, it takes up far less space in the back of the VW, my SUV, than, let's say, a round jug that just sort of wastes space. This just slides in between other items. Now you can rest it on its base, on its bottom, and both the openings are facing up. And then it also has a handle so that you can put it on its side, and it's flat on the side and on the bottom as well. And then you can use the spigot. So in a campsite, I put it on the edge of the bench or on the edge of the table and then attach the spigot. And then I just have a spigot to fill up my pots or my water jug or whatever I happen to be using. And with 3.2 gallons, that gives me plenty of water for a multiple day camping trip or for an entire week when we're on a workshop. I have been keeping that full also, though, because, you know, one of the things that becomes an issue in an emergency is drinking water and cooking water. And this allows me to store it in the garage full so that if we have an emergency where we need water, then I have, you know, this ready to go. And I like it so much and it packs so well that I've been thinking about getting a second one for the house as well, just to double our capacity. Because it's so space-saving, it makes sense to have, you know, more water. Because we never really know how long we're going to have to go without fresh water. And yes, we can cobble together water that we already have. And, you know, maybe that adds up to a gallon or something. And that can get us by for a day. But I really feel like that I want a more long-term storage container, not only for my camping trips and my photography workshops, but also in case I need to get by without running water for a couple days. Of the ones I've tested, this Koozmint container, Coozmint, is my favorite by far. I just like it a lot. Cooking systems have changed, and we've gone from basically using a propane-fueled flame with whatever pots we could muster up to things now that are, I think, a lot more sophisticated, mainly because they're integrated and they allow for temperature control, precise temperature control. And I just think that overall, it makes cooking more efficient, and definitely the results have been better since I started testing some of these systems. My favorite one, and the one that I recommend for a lot of reasons, one, it's super compact. It does nesting, and then it has a case, or at least the kit that I recommend comes with the case and with handles so that you can easily grab it if you have to in an emergency and you have everything you need with you. And you'll see what I mean by that as I go through the various components of this cooking system. The one I really like is the Nomad Cooking System by Stoke Voltaics, and it is fantastic, and it's an electric system. Now, I'm going to talk about the power source for this in the next item, but right now we'll just focus on this. One of the reasons why I like it is that it has variable settings that go from 200 watts draw to 1,000 watts draw. And what happens a lot of times with any electric cooking item is that it's fixed at a wattage. In other words, it's 800 watts or it's 1100 watts and that's it. And you don't really have any say in the matter depending on how much energy you need, how much energy you're trying to save, if you're trying to meter out your energy over a longer period of time, all that kind of stuff. This cooking system allows you to have control over how much energy you're drawing off your power source. Right away, that is a biggie for me. The second is that the heating element is integrated into the two cooking pots. So you have a sizzle pan, and this thing is fantastic. It has a nice high lip, about a 2-inch, but it's a sizzle bottom, and it actually has, you know, a little undulating, kind of like a grill sort of bottom. And this is what I use to fry eggs in. And anything where I want to saute, I saute vegetables in it. I have tested this sizzle pot with many, many, many meals. And I actually just have it set up in the kitchen at the studio right now with a Blue Yeti power station, not only because it's just really, convenient and handy and fantastic in an emergency or a camping trip, I just like cooking with it in general. I mean, you could plug it right into the wall and have this be a cooking system in a dorm or, you know, in a small apartment, somewhere where space is at a premium. This thing works fantastic. And then it also has a pot, a bubble pot. Now, camping, I don't do much pot cooking. I'm usually using the sizzle pan. But what I use the pot for is to heat up water, and I use it for washing the dishes. So in this integrated system that is, you know, about 12 inches in diameter and stands, probably about a foot tall when everything is stacked, I have a substantial pot that I could use for cooking spaghetti or whatever, or in my case, a lot of times just for washing up, just cleaning up things, cleaning up myself, heating up water for that, or for utensils. It also comes with some other nice goodies, a lid that works on both the pot and the sizzle pan, and then also a handle that's a removable handle that's has a very good grip, and that you can also use it on the pot or the sizzle pan. It has a cord, of course, and the cord can either go into a power generator or it can go into a wall outlet. It's a standard 3-prong cord, and then the lid. Now, the kit that I recommend is $239, and that includes the carry case. And the carry case is fitted for these items. And it looks like, honestly, when you carry it, it looks like a small hat case, right? It's about, you know, kind of the same shape. Because it is so compact, it's easy to grab in emergencies, and it's easy to pack for a camping trip. Now, I have found this kit works great for two people. And now I use it by myself most of the time, because most of the time when I'm camping by myself, or when I'm cooking at the studio during the day, it's just for me when I'm working here. But it also will do enough portions for two people in it. It's $239. It heats up quickly. I prefer when I'm sauteing vegetables out of the garden and so forth, I use avocado oil with it, and I usually do the setting about 600 watts. And then I'll use it in tandem with an item I talked about last time I did this podcast, which is a mini rice cooker that only draws 200 watts. I mean, that thing, that's a gem, that the mini rice cooker. It only draws 200 watts, so I can cook the rice in the mini rice cooker, saute the vegetables, and if there's any meat, saute them with the Nomad cooking system, and then just bring them all together. The coating on this is very robust on the inside. It's a non-stick surface, but it's a modern non-stick surface that isn't going to peel. The whole thing is exceptionally well made and designed. If you're interested in getting away from gas cooking or schlepping around a bunch of pots and pans along with, you know, a big stove and all that kind of stuff, you just want to get to something that's totally integrated and that takes up very little space but yet offers very precise cooking, I would take a look at this Nomadic cooking system. It's fantastic, and I have a link in the show notes. So you're going to need power for this stuff, and I have tested so many power stations. In fact, you know, the studio here, you know, this is where I record the podcast. This is where, you know, I have meetings. But this is also my crazy mad scientist lab. And I have solar panels out there all day, every day, running a wire into the main room downstairs at the studio, where I have power stations that I'm continuously charging and then using that energy for the various things that I do here. It's fun. I'll tell you, it's fun, but it's also great practice for camping, for doing reviews, and for talking about emergency situations like we are today. Of all the units I've tested and I take on the road with me, I keep coming back to this Blue Yeti AC70. I've reviewed it before, but I like it so much that I got a second one. I enjoy my jackeries a lot, and I depend on my jackeries a lot. You know, the jackeries and the Bluettis are my two favorite power stations. I love them both. But there's something about the AC70 that's a 1,000-watt unit, 768 watt-hours, that seems just the right size to easily carry around, to pack. It's got a nice squarish design. I can put two of them in the back of the VW when I'm packing for a camping trip. And, you know, they're very efficient space-wise. It has two AC outlets, and then it has two USB-C outlets. It has two USB-A outlets, and then it has the 12-volt so-called cigarette lighter outlet. I charge my AC70s with solar panels, but you can also charge it with a power cord. So if you just want to keep it for emergencies, you can use just an AC outlet in your house to charge it up. It charges very fast. It has an app, a very nice smartphone app that allows you to control a lot of the settings. The handle is integrated, so it's easy to pick up and carry. It has a flat top so that you can use it for a surface also. I put a cutting board on top of it when I'm camping in the VW. You know, so then I just put my cooking pot on top of it or whatever, and it serves as a stand. And now that I have two of them, I can put them back to back and have even a bigger cutting board on top. I use a wood cutting board and have a bigger work surface. And I've just found that the nice thing about these Bluettis is that they go for a long time. They can power things like the Nomad cooking system that I'm talking about, the Stokvotakes kettle, which I also use. I talked about that, I believe, in the last podcast. I can power the rice cooker with it. I can power basically anything that I need. Of course, the lights and all that stuff, fans, anything that I need. And they go for a long time. They're just really efficient. The display is quite beautiful and easy to read. Have found that they're the right trade-off between size and power. You can get them for $379 right now. I think it's a good value. They do go on sale, so if you're not in a hurry, you can keep an eye out. I paid a little bit less than $379 for the second one that I bought. I'm just really sold on these for an all-around power generator that works both in emergencies and for camping trips, and that are versatile enough for all the items that I'm talking about that run off electricity. The link to it is in the show notes, and it's still my favorite. And finally, I want to talk about a new item that I just finished testing, and it's from Bodega Cooler. I've covered their other models before, but this model is the Goldilocks model for me, for sure. This is a Bodega Cooler 12-volt car refrigerator, 36L. It holds 38 quarts, so it holds a lot of food. You can either use it as a fridge or a freezer. Here's the thing that I like about it. There are a couple of things that I really like about it. First of all, it's $180, and for how well this thing works, it is a legitimate refrigerator that, you know, if you want, you can take it all the way down and keep ice cream in there. I mean, it is legitimate in terms of its cooling power. It doesn't draw that much. I use it in eco mode. I keep it set to 29 degrees, which sounds really cool, you know, too cool for, like, you know, all my drinks are going to freeze and stuff. But actually, things don't freeze other than if you had cut carrots in there, they might get a little frosty. If I had cut carrots in there, I'd probably raise it up to like 31 degrees. But it keeps everything, if you like a nice cold beer or a nice cold Coca-Cola, 29 degrees is the way to go. It only draws about 28 watts. And it's not consistently drawing that. It is just drawing it when it needs to, when the compressor goes on. It has an inner basket so that you can leave the cooler in the back of the car or whatever, grab the basket, go inside, fill up the basket, and then take the basket out to the cooler and just drop it in there so you don't have to be schlepping the cooler around all the time. However, if you do, it's got wheels and a handle so you can pull it like a wagon if you need to. But here's the thing that really got me excited about it. The other coolers I had tested were either too small for a multiple day trip or for an emergency, or they were too big to fit properly in the back of my VW. This one has a lower height, so it's only, I think, 17 inches tall. I can put it inside the back boot of the VW and even have the luggage cover on, and it fits in there. And then it's just the right length, so I can put it long ways in the back, put it up against the side, and it's just the right length of the boot area in the back. So again, it's super space efficient. Has a LED light on the inside. It's a beautiful cooler. You could go with its capacity. You could go quite a while with it. You know, 38 quarts, that allows you, if you pack it properly and just keep the important things in there. For a camping trip, you're talking about, you know, easily 4 days for two people. Now, while I'm driving, I plug the 12-volter plug into the VW outlet. And then when I'm in the campsite, I use my AC70 power station to run it. And it doesn't seem to phase the AC70 hardly at all. Then it also comes with an AC plug. So if you're having a backyard patio party, then you can use it as your cooler outdoors and just plug it into a regular outlet and it runs fine that way. And in emergencies, when you're worried about the food in your fridge going bad, especially if it goes more than 24 hours, you can pull the essentials out of your fridge, the really important stuff, put it in this cooler, run it off your power station, and you're going to be fine. You're going to be fine. You're going to have a lot longer lead time in an emergency situation when you have a device like this. So this is the Bodega Cooler. It's a two-tone blue and white design. And again, I have both the link to it in the show notes, and I also have a link to the review in the show notes. So those are my camping / emergency items, you know, water, cooking, refrigeration, that can make life a lot more bearable regardless of your situation. If you're interested in any of them, go over to the show notes, and I hope you enjoyed hearing about them. Okay, I have a couple items for our camera industry news. The first one, Canon has a new ImagePrograph Pro 13-inch printer on the market. It's called the Pro 310. And I have a review of it right here. It's from Digital Camera World. I have a link to the full review in the show notes, but I just want to read you a little bit about their verdict and what they say. So here's the verdict. The Canon ImagePrograph Pro 310 picks up the baton from the Pro 300, which was my all-time favorite A3+/13-inch photo printer. It looks virtually identical from the outside, which is no bad thing, but a new set of inks deliver even better image quality and prints and more robust and long-lasting. It also delivers supersized panoramic output. I love it. The pros are spectacular print quality, great for color and black and white, suits both glossy and matte papers. The cons are fairly low capacity cartridges and not particularly fast. Now, this is a pigment-based printer, so it has great archival life. It has 10 pigments. The maximum print resolution is 4800 by 2400 DPI. It has a top tray and a rear tray, a 3-inch color LCD. It interfaces with USB 2, Ethernet and Wi-Fi, and it is 25 inches by 15 inches by 8 inches, and it weighs 31 pounds, and I believe the price, the U.S. price is $849, and basically, according to this reviewer, this is about as good as it gets for a 13-inch pigment printer. This is professional level quality. The whole review is here in the show notes in the link. So if you're looking to get a Pro Caliber inkjet printer, 13-inch model, take a look at this review. Lots of pictures and lots of good information. Practical advice for photographing the Perseids Meteor Shower. And this is on f-stoppers and a link in the show notes. The Perseids Meteor Shower is often the most spectacular meteor shower in the Northern Hemisphere due to frequency as well as its appearance in summer. Here's how to photograph it. Then they get into talking about the dark skies. By the way, this is starting now and runs through basically mid-August. In the article, they say that the Perseids can be seen from mid-July to August 23rd. They will likely peak around the night of August 12th and before dawn on August 13th. However, the moon will be 84% illuminated for the peak, rising at 9:38 p.m. Pacific time. Because a nearly full moon gives off a lot of light, you'll likely not be able to see most of the meteors. Consequently, if you're going out during the peak, the best time to catch them is that short time during twilight and before the moon comes up. What you could consider is trying to view the Perseids earlier, such as between July 22nd and 29. The moon will not be present during the hours that you would most likely be out photographing the sky. This creates darker skies, increasing the chances that you'll see more meteors, despite this not being near the peak. When you do have dark skies, you may see as many as 60 to 75 meteor per hour. That's nice. This is a great meteor shower. I sometimes just go out in the lawn chair or the hammock and just watch it, not even try to photograph it, just enjoy it and watch it, especially if you have a nice summer evening where you can do that. However, if you do want to photograph it, this article does a really nice job of laying out what tools you need, how to set your camera, you know, all the good stuff that you would want to know. A nice little refresher course on meteor photography, and it's all right here in this F-Stoppers article. I thought it'd be interesting, and, you know, it's really a nice thing to do. And, you know, get you out on a summer evening. You can hang out with somebody else and maybe get some really cool shots. Okay, let's take care of a little virtual camera club news. I want to start out talking about Costa Rica. Our workshop in Costa Rica is going to be on June 23rd to July 1st, 2026. And I'm doing this with Rob Knight. The reason why I'm bringing it up today is because Rob just got back from a scouting trip in Costa Rica, and he was excited. he was very excited. We have a new location that he scouted out, and I mean, this is a location where we both can stay. This will be our accommodations for part of the workshop, and also photograph there. They promote themselves as photographer-friendly and birdwatcher-friendly location. Rob wanted to go test that out, and he says they are walking the talk. He was so excited about the birds and the wildlife that he saw there. He thought the accommodations were top-notch, and it didn't affect our pricing. You know, we have very affordable pricing for this workshop because we include everything, accommodations, food, the whole taco for $4,395 per person. And that's with single occupancy. We're not sticking you in a room with somebody else, and we're limiting it to 10 photographers. So anyway, Rob came back from that. He has some new locations he scouted. We've got a new place to stay for part of the workshop. And both of us can't wait to go back. He just got to go. I didn't get to go on this. So now I'm really chomping at the bit after listening to his report. If you're interested in reserving a spot on this once-in-a-lifetime workshop, I have a link to it in the show notes. There's a ton of information on this website that it links to. And then you can also sign up for the workshop on the same spot. So if you have wanted to go to Costa Rica, and if you want to do it with experienced guides and with local talent in fantastic locations, but yet you'll be well taken care of and just have a great time. Just focus on your photography and hanging out with the other photographers. This workshop, I highly recommend. Our first one I thought was fantastic, and this one is shaping up to look even better. I want to give a shout out to our Inner Circle members. These are the folks that support this podcast and this community month in and month out. And I should mention, Inner Circle members, you get a discount for this workshop. Your Inner Circle membership qualifies you for a $100 discount on our Costa Rica workshop. And so all you have to do is just let us know when you sign up that you're an Inner Circle member, and we will take that discount right off the top for you. But there are other things that you get as an Inner Circle member other than just savings on all of our online and physical workshops. You get to hang out with other Inner Circle members. You find out about events before the regular public listening audience. It's just a great place to be, and it's an exclusive club with truly talented and wonderful people. If you want to learn more about it, just click on the Patreon tile that's on all the pages of The Digital Story. You can sign up there, and then you'll be hearing from me, where you will get your invite to our exclusive space on Derek Story Online. And a big thanks to our Inner Circle members for supporting this community. And finally, I'd like to acknowledge our friends at Red River Paper, longest running sponsor of The Digital Story. When I was looking at that new Canon printer that I talked about earlier, man, I was thinking, oh my gosh, would that be a sweet ride to have and replace my aging Canon printer? And who knows, I may actually pull the trigger on this new ProGraph. But at any rate, after you get the printer that you want, then there's the matter of the paper and the technique, getting the right surfaces for the projects that you want to do. You could say that Red River Paper is there for you for everything that you need after you have the printer, and they do it well. And if you want to learn more about Red River Paper, all you have to do is click on their tile that's on all the pages of The Digital Story. It'll take you to our landing page. You can use our discount code to get free shipping on your order. You can nose around a bit. You can figure out what kind of paper you need. You can order it. They will take care of you. They will get it to you toot sweet. And then you can put that new printer, or that printer that you've always dreamed of actually using instead of just sitting there in your office, and make some fine artwork to share with the world. A big thanks to Red River Paper for supporting this podcast. All right, it's going to do it for me this week. I hope you enjoyed the show. Working on more cool stuff for next week. Until then, get out there, take some pictures, stay safe. See you next Tuesday. Bye-bye now.